Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into First Take, the Caesars Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. And week three, Charlie, has officially started. Games have gotten underway, those noon starts that we've gotten all so used to. But we're 3:05 today, coming up with Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, Jeff Nowak on the sideline at Seattle. So the rest of the NFC South, though, in action. And turns out our Fox game we have here is the Washington Commanders, led by Marcus Mariota, who gets into the end zone against the Raiders. And so Commanders up 7-0 early at home against the Raiders in this matchup. Really curious to see what happens with them with no Jaden Daniels going forward. I don't know how long it looks like he's going to be out of service.
Hopefully for all NFL fans, it will not be long. Jaden is a special, special talent, and the quicker he gets back onto the field, the better for NFL fans across the world. Steve, this is kind of unusual because it's the afternoon start, but the Saints have six of these right now for this season. They have, obviously, this game, and then they host New England for an afternoon start, which is a little bit interesting. Back-to-back afternoon games at home against Tampa Bay and on the road against Los Angeles, the Rams, in weeks 8 and 9. Then later on in the season, after the bye week, they host Atlanta in the afternoon, week 12. And then week 15, they host Carolina in the afternoon as well. So, funny enough, a lot of these afternoon starts are at home, which I think is pretty interesting as well. So we won't be doing this very often together. It will be you and Jeff. But being able to kind of catch up on some of the early action without the Saints playing is something that I'm not very used to. But it's pretty fun. So as you had mentioned early on, the Commanders really hot knife through butter against the Raiders defense. They storm all the way down the field, take a 7-0 lead there. It's one of almost 10 games that are currently in action right now. And the only other score that we've got so far is the Colts up 7-0 over the Titans.
It's also nice, Charlie, when you have a little bit later start on Sunday, when you have a later night with LSU football, even though you could have tuned out of that game early since it was just a complete blowout of the Tigers all over Southeastern.
Yeah, by the second quarter, you knew what the result was going to be for that game. I am kind of surprised that we're getting the Commanders and the Raiders in this matchup, Steve, for Fox.
No love for Rams-Eagles on Fox. I don't get it either.
I mean, even like my second guess would have been Falcons and Panthers, maybe just because of the NFC
Division, South, right? Stuff
there. But we don't even get that. We don't get the premier matchup with the Rams at the Eagles, which I'm sure is being displayed to the majority of the nation, but we get the Commanders and the Raiders, so it's
thanks, Fox.
It's unique for sure.
Coming up here on WWO, Saints Radio will be the Saints at Seattle, 1-1 Seahawks hosting the Black and Gold. Saints color analyst Deuce McAllister up in the Pacific Northwest getting ready for this 3:05 kickoff. Him and Hoss on the call. He was hosting fans in the pro solo with Charlie Long. I guess it wasn't solo then if you were giving them the big assist.
Yeah, we were hanging out. It was a good time.
Here's what Deuce's keys were for this Saints game at Seattle.
Couple things that I think that the Saints have to do well to be successful in this game. One, it's a tough matchup just because of their strength is probably one of your biggest question marks, and that's just because you haven't been great. I think you've been okay. I don't even know if I would give you good up front. I think you've been okay up front. But the strength of Seattle has been their defensive line. And even though you've got new guys on the back end, you may have three new starters. If the Saints are an 11 personnel, they may have three new starters on that back end. The question will be, can you block it up? Can the Saints block it up to be able to exploit the back end of the defense? And so I looked at it a couple of different ways. You can say, hey, I'm going to go heavy personnel, and most of the guys up front, every guy will be double teamed. So you may only be sending three guys out on a route. And if that's the case, you got to get open. But you shouldn't be getting beat because every guy is being doubled. You know, and so you can do it that way, or you can kind of say, okay, I'm going to move the pocket a little bit and give my quarterback 2 to 3 options when I talk about half to field opportunities. You have to be able to do a little bit of that. And then the other thing that I think that you can do is when you talk about playing this game, kind of a side to side standpoint, is being able to get my guys in space. Yes, you can try to attack them vertically as far as up and down, but I think that if you can make these guys have to tackle in space, particularly if they're backup players, yes, they've played special teams, but it's a lot different when you talk about I am the starter and I also have to play special teams and I have to go and make a tackle in open space. I think the Saints have to be able to exploit all three of those options, and it's just on offense. Defense, you know, that's a totally different situation. But just from an offensive standpoint, take care of the football and attack those secondary guys in space, whether that's moving the pocket, whether that's the big play element of taking some shot plays down the field. But you've got to make them make plays in one-on-one situations.
Saints color analyst Deuce McAllister there breaking down some of the keys for the game for the black and gold in this matchup at Seattle. And for me, Charlie, he was being awfully kind in his comments about the O-line early on.
Yeah, we'll be talking with Greg Bell here in just a second, Steve. But Deuce brings up a great point about the offensive front against Seattle's defensive front for the Saints. It's a mismatch.
Biggest concern for me.
For Seattle. What you've seen from them, regardless of if it was the week one loss to San Francisco or the week two victory over Pittsburgh, they have gotten after it up front. You know, Byron Murphy, the former 16th overall pick of last year's draft, the 2024 draft, kind of had maybe a quiet rookie season. He started to come along like the entire defense did for Seattle in the second half of the season, and then he's gotten off to an awesome start for Seattle this year, where, you know, maybe he wasn't necessarily in the stat sheet as far as sacks go in week one, but then week two, you know, Mike Dettillier brought this up, like basically last Monday after the game against Pittsburgh on Sunday, that he was getting double teamed all the time on the interior and he was still getting after the passer. He had 1.5 sacks in that game and 5 tackles from basically the nose tackle position. He was awesome for
Huge
them.
Concern up there.
Yeah. And then Leonard Williams is another guy that he's been around the right. block, right? He's a former first round pick as well, if my memory serves correct, but he's been in the NFL for quite some time. That was someone that, you know, one of the Sunday reports I had done, Mark Schlereth really highlighted as being really big, really agile, really tough to deal with on the offensive line for a defensive perspective as well. So, you know, those two guys specifically, because the Seattle plays a 3-4 just like the Saints play a 3-4 under Coach Staley, but their edge play isn't necessarily the strength. It's more of those interior guys like the Leonard Williams, like the Byron Murphy, that can really, really get after you and kind of wreck your game plan right from the interior.
So I'm looking at the two guys next to Eric McCoy. You better step it up, whoever's in there. We know Cesar Ruiz and most likely Trevor Penning.
It's going to be a test for those guys right off the bat because you are playing some premier interior defensive linemen this week, and you know, we'll see what ends up happening. I know Ruiz has caught a ton of criticism, rightfully so, for his play early on, and really it started in the preseason, Steve. Like, yeah, he didn't look good in the preseason, and you were thinking, oh well, you know, once you get to the regular season, you're playing next to McCoy, hopefully that will be better for him, and
not
it really
so much.
Has not been. The PFF numbers absolutely hate Cesar Ruiz and what he's done this year. So if you're talking about players that need to step up, because he's been paid by the Saints, you have him on your interior offensive line.
We talk about all the time, a first-round pick.
You need to play like it, and he really hasn't so far this year. So it's not going to get easier against the Seahawks defensive front, but you still need to see some improvement from him because, really, there's nowhere to go but up.
We'll get more on the Seattle Seahawks squad after the break. Greg Bell from the Tacoma News Tribune joining us here on the WWL Caesar Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Breaking right now. We'll be right back with more, though, right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the Caesars Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Checking out real quick the scoreboard around the NFL right now as we have those noon games going on. The Philadelphia Eagles have a 7-0 lead over the Rams. Browns and Packers are scoreless at 0-0. The Colts have a 7-3 lead over the Titans in Tennessee. Minnesota Vikings hosting the Cincinnati Bengals have a 7-0 lead over them. Pittsburgh Steelers in the New England Patriots house have a 7-0 lead there, and the New York Jets have gotten out to a 3-0 start at Tampa Bay. The Washington Commanders 7-3 lead over the LA Raiders. Marcus Mariota with a rushing touchdown for them. The Carolina Panthers currently up 7-0 over the Atlanta Falcons early on, in Jacksonville Jaguars. And the Houston Texans off to a 0-0 start. Now we're going to check in Seattle, who covers the Seahawks for the Tacoma News Tribune. Greg Bell, thank you for giving us some time today on this pregame. How you doing, Greg, and what's it like out there right now?
Good morning for us. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. It's light rain. First rain Seattle's had in a couple months, actually.
Shocker, right?
It hasn't rained a long time here, but it's going to be a light rain, 60-degree type of day, more like an October-November game for Seattle. I don't think the weather will be a huge factor. It's not windy, it's not cold, and it's not heavy rain.
Greg, when you look at this Seattle home team, you know, at home today, we've heard so much. Obviously, the Lumen Field crowd, the 12th man is a big to-do. But as of late, Seattle hasn't been as successful at home.
It's crazy that they've lost 7 of their last 8 home games dating to last season. And, I mean, that's some of the worst teams in the league don't go 7 and losing 7 of 8 at home. They've lost as a 7.5-point favorite as they are today. They lost last year to the Giants in the same situation in early October. They lost again to the 49ers, as they have often in the last half dozen years, to begin this season at home. They spent a lot of time, Mike McDonald, the second-year coach, spent a lot of time talking about fast starts in home games, yet they tend to play behind. They fall behind early. They chase games. You guys know a little bit about Clint Kubiak from last year's Saints team. His offenses are not built to chase games. They're built to take a lead and then wear down a defense with the running game, play action passes off of that. And often in home games, they have fallen behind early and gotten out of what they want to do. So that's the key for them today. Start fast.
Greg, what can you tell us about Mike McDonald? Because it felt like last year, Seattle gets off to the slow start, but then they really picked it up in the second half of the season. And a lot of that is because the defense really kind of got established there. We know how brilliant he is as a defensive mind. We also saw what he did in Baltimore. But kind of building that defense from the ground up here in Seattle, and then, you know, the good start that they've been off to this year as well defensively, it just feels like he's really kind of earned that reputation as a great young defensive mind.
They hired him to fix the defense. That was what got Pete Carroll fired. The defense was broken. It was bottom of the league, stopping the run, giving up tons of points. And now they've allowed 17 points in each of the first two games. That's their fewest points allowed since 2017. The only Seahawks team to allow fewer points in the first two games to begin a season was the 2013 Super Bowl champion Legion of Boom, the number one ranked defense. They brought him here to fix the defense, and he spent all last year doing it. They traded for Ernest Jones in the middle of the season, a quintessential Mike McDonald middle linebacker. When he hits guys, they go to the ground, a general on the field, a real commanding force that transformed them. They've got two Pro Bowlers in the back of the defense in the secondary, cornerback Devin Witherspoon and Julian Love, both of whom may not play today, probably won't. Their list is doubtful and didn't practice all week. And I'm pretty sure Kellen Moore and the Saints are going to be targeting that in the secondary, because they are mixing and matching there. Alvin Kamara, guys, has really given the Seahawks fit in the passing game. In 3 games against Seattle, Kamara's had 9 targets out of the backfield in the pass game. And as you guys know, it's not just swing passes and checkdowns. He'll go out in primary routes. The Seahawks spent a lot of time this week working on Kamara out of the backfield and tackling after the catch, which they were poor at doing in Pittsburgh. But he spent all last year, McDonald did, fixing the defense. He spent this year fixing the offense, bringing in Clint Kubiak and John Benton from the same staff. Andrew Janocco is the new quarterback's coach from New Orleans. And their primary mission is to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball some more with that outside zone. So far, mixed results. Kenneth Walker's nursing a foot injury. They're maintaining him, limiting his reps and carries. He had a 100-yard game against Pittsburgh on only 13 carries last week. Zach Charbonnet has been actually the number one back in terms of reps so far, but he's doubtful to play today with a toe injury, which means George Helani, a second-year running back, will come in to be behind and maybe get a lot of reps for spelling Walker and his foot issue. This team's a little bit beat up. You're catching them for this early in the season. The Seahawks have a lot of key starters out today.
Greg, you mentioned, you know, being beat up. An issue for me, the biggest scare I have is, you know, looking at the Saints going into this game. The interior of the offensive line hasn't been great and has been banged up, too. We might have Trevor Penning back in the mix today. But for the fact of going against Seattle's D-line, man, oh, man, I feel like they're one of the biggest strengths of that Seattle squad.
Yeah, the defensive line has had a great start. You're right about that. Leonard Williams, Jaron Reed, Byron Murphy. They got DeMarcus Lawrence in from 11 years at the Cowboys at defensive end. They rushed just four last week against Aaron Rodgers and still had the highest pressure rate in the league last week. They have the highest pressure rate in the league over the season right now at using four down line 83% of the time. They haven't blitzed a lot. They usually would send Devin Witherspoon on nickel blitzes, but now he's missed. Today would be the second game he's missed. They played more coverage, but if they're getting the pressure again today on Spencer Rattler with just four down linemen, that's seven to cover, and that's how the Seahawks have held teams with 17 points so far this season.
And then moving to the offense for Seattle, I just wanted, before we get into Darnold and the new-look offensive line, which is very young for Seattle, I wanted to ask you about JSN, because I know that he was dealing with some flu issues yesterday or symptoms of that, but apparently he's going to be good to go. I was reading reports that he's going to actually play after being listed as questionable kind of late in the process. Jackson Smith and Jigba, you know, maybe not necessarily a household name, but someone that kind of had his breakout year last season in his second season with Seattle. We always talk about receivers making the year three leap, right? The best receivers, a lot of the times you'll see them get off to a decent start to their NFL careers, but by year three, they've really established themselves as elite players. And so far, so good for JSN, who's got 17 catches in the first 2 weeks, which is third in the NFL, second in the NFL with 227 yards. Once again, he had a really strong 2024 campaign where he, in 17 games, caught 100 balls for over 1,100 yards, but it feels like he's kind of primed for a massive season with Sam Darnold in this offense.
Well, he's a household name if you're from Big Ten country in Columbus, Ohio.
That's true.
He tore up the Rose Bowl his junior year, 347 yards on 15 catches and three touchdowns. That game got him drafted, and he was a first-round pick of Seattle 2 years ago, one of two first-round picks they had along with Devin Witherspoon. 100-catch season, you mentioned, tied Tyler Lockett's team record out here for a season. This season so far, the distribution of the passes have been skewed toward Smith and Jigba. He had 13 targets on only 23 pass attempts in the opener from Sam Darnold, the new quarterback out here. And for the season, he's second in the league with 41% of his team's targets going to him. He's second in the league in receptions, second in yards. I think that's going to flatten out. Cooper Kupp emerged in the second half last week at Pittsburgh on the third down. In the slot as he was so many years for the Saints. They're going to get Elijah Arroyo, their second-round rookie tight end, more involved. Torrey Horton had been beset by an ankle injury at the end of the preseason. He's just now getting back to full strength, their fifth-round wide receiver, rookie from Colorado State, who actually beat out somebody you're a little familiar with, Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Oh, yeah.
For the job. They end up cutting Scantling because of how good Torrey Horton, the rookie, was. You'll see Horton 15 today in the offense quite a bit. I don't expect them to target Smith and Jigba as heavily as they have the first two games throughout the season, but, yeah, he's become a trusted guy, a first-down guy who, a little bit like Tyler Lockett in that sense of being trusted by his quarterback to get the first downs and third down. But you'll see Kupp in the slot. You'll see them move Smith and Jigba around a lot more than he was last year when Lockett and Metcalf were here. And you'll see Torrey Horton, 15 today, being something of the DK Metcalf old ex-receiver role. Not that he's a Metcalf guy at all physically, but more of the down-the-field speed deep threat today.
So when you look at this game, Greg, and you know the keys to a victory for Seattle, who do you think could be one of those game wreckers for the Seahawks in this matchup against the Black and Gold?
Well, I would look at Elijah Arroyo, number 18, the rookie tight end. They haven't gotten him really involved yet in the pass game, but he's a pass-catching wide receiver first. He hasn't played as many snaps because his run blocking is still coming along. But in passing situations, he hasn't yet been a factor. I think he'll be. Maybe today's the day for that. And then Kenneth Walker, he got a full load of reps this week because Charbonnet wasn't practicing. This could be a bigger tote day than the 13 carries last week in Pittsburgh for Walker. And defensively, they have to, and you hear this all the time when people play the Saints, even though Alvin Kamara is 30 years old, you got to stop him first and see if they put the game in Rattler's hands in his fourth road start. That's the Seahawks' task, to shut down the run, third down and long situations, so that their pass rush that's had such success in the front four gets after him. But look for Elijah Arroyo, somebody nobody's talking about, a rookie tight end number 18, to maybe have a bigger game than his first two.
You know, Greg, I wanted to ask you about the early returns on Sam Darnold, you know, coming over from Minnesota, and the fantastic season that he had with the Vikings earned him a big payday with the Seahawks, who let Geno Smith go to Vegas. We got the Raiders game on TV here in the studio right now. But just want to get your kind of early returns from Darnold, his comfort level in that Seahawks offense with Clint Kubiak, and what you've seen from him in the first 2 weeks.
Well, he's had three turnovers in two games. He had a crushing fumble where Nick Bosa pushed his right tackle into him with 30 seconds left, and they were in the red zone down by four against the 49ers in the opener, and Darnold didn't secure the ball, lost it, turnover, game over. And then two really ugly interceptions in the first half in Pittsburgh, one on a ball a high school passer shouldn't throw with a corner underneath coverage on Smith and Jigba down the field. And yet they love how steady he is. They really impressed. The Seahawks players and coaches are both remarking about he's so the same, whether it's he's down 14-7 because of his two interceptions at the half at Pittsburgh. If he's trying to lead a two-minute drive to beat San Francisco, playing from the front with a huge third-down pass in the second half in Pittsburgh. But he's always the same. They like his poise, his leadership in those moments. He's got to quit the turnovers he's got to cut down on, obviously. But they haven't seen him operate in the full Kubiak offense yet. They haven't established the run and been in third and short situations to run the full arsenal of playbook that they signed Sam Darnold for. But so far, inconclusively on the turnover situation, but other than that, they love the other intangibles he's bringing. They want to see him in the full offense if they can get the run game going on first and second down.
And then, Greg, my last one for you. I want to ask you about the offensive line for Seattle, which was, I mean, well, reportedly a nightmare last year for the Seahawks squad. And especially on the interior, they go out and get Gray Zabel, who shined at the Senior Bowl down here in Mobile, and they pick him with the 18th overall selection in the first round. We've talked to different Seahawks reporters throughout the week kind of previewing the game, and the one thing that keeps coming up with someone like Zabel is just like such a steady presence. He's like a veteran, even though he's a rookie, and just kind of how he's helped that offensive line go from what it was last year, where it was just a complete mess, to more kind of maybe stable this year is a good word for it. Just want to get your thoughts on Zabel and then that Seahawks offensive front.
Well, the offensive line's been a mess out here ever since they traded Max Unger to the Saints back in 2015 for Jimmy Graham. I mean, seriously, you can point at that. And ever since then, their offensive line's been in shambles. They've had 10 different centers in 10 years since they traded Max Unger. They have not, guys, spent a first-round pick on a guard like they did Gray Zabel this year. They hadn't done that since 2001 Steve Hutchinson. That worked out all right for them. Hmm. That's how much of an investment they made on the interior line. Anthony Bradford, an LSU guy a couple years ago, fifth-round pick, is the right tackle starting, and he was injured last year and only got a few starts last season. He's now more solidified at right guard. And they have Jalen Sindel, who was an undrafted rookie last year, is now the starting center. He was actually Gray Zabel's college roommate at North Dakota State for 3 years. They started next to each other at North Dakota State. Now they're starting next to each other here in Seattle. Zabel, presence-wise and effectiveness-wise, is like a seven-year vet. He blocks second- and third-level guys. He's pinning Max Crosby's and Nick Bosa's in his first couple starts. He looks like he's 28, 30 years old already. And well worth it, spending that pick on him. They think they have two bookend tackles in Charles Cross and Abe Lucas. They just extended Lucas for 3 years. They've got Cross on a fifth-year option next year at least, and they're trying to work on an extension for him. they're miles ahead of where they were just a couple years ago. They had Laken Tomlinson starting for them at left guard last year. That's where they were. And so they're way ahead. And they're still getting into the outside zone scheme, blocking scheme that Benton and Kubiak are coaching. But Gray Zabel alone has upgraded them. It's because they finally invested in that interior of the line that they were reluctant to do for so long.
Greg Bell covers the Seahawks for the Tacoma News Tribune. Thank you so much for the time. Hope you have a great game day. I know there's plenty of coffee at the stadium awaiting.
Not hard to come by coffee here. It's kind of like rain. You just, it's always falling on you.
Awesome stuff. Thanks again, Greg.
Enjoy the game. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Check out Greg on X, Greg G Bell Seattle, at G Bell Seattle. You can follow him there. And, yeah, that was one thing I was amazed. My one trip to Seattle, as I mentioned earlier, Charlie, it just seemed from everywhere in the media area, including in the broadcast booth, they were just bringing you, you know, coffee. And I was like, oh, you know, caffeine, fuel me. Give me that nitro.
Now, I've never been to Seattle, but that's kind of funny. You know, hopefully, like, the Saints defensive line can drink some of that and get ready for this matchup because, yes, the Seahawks offensive line, as Greg mentioned, is better, but that's still an area that the Saints defensive front needs to win in this game because if you can slow down the rushing attack with Kenneth Walker, who, as Greg has mentioned, is a little bit hobbled with a foot issue, and Zach Charbonnet, who once
again is doubtful.
RB1B for them is not likely going to be playing in this game. He's doubtful. As we mentioned, he's not 100% out, but typically when you're doubtful, you're not going to play. So Kenneth Walker is already a little bit banged up, but he's going to be the guy in the running back room today for Seattle. If you can slow him down and then force Sam Darnold into these obvious drop back passing situations where he can't utilize play action and you can get after him as a passer, you have a shot here for the Saints defense to have a really good day, but you got to battle that Seahawks offensive line, which is much improved from last year, but it's still a potential exploitable unit.
I think we talk about, you know, winning in the trenches, obviously, every week is so important throughout the NFL. But, man, oh, man, there's things that you want to see this Saints squad be able to do this week that's going to be mighty difficult against the Seattle squad. I feel like there's not a great matchup in the trenches yet, either side.
No, not necessarily. Once again, the one you feel a little bit better about is the Saints defensive front against Seattle's offensive line.
Agreed, right.
Where they're both kind of middle of the pack units. I know the Saints defensive front is kind of in the bottom of the NFL right now in pressures. They need to get back up towards at least the middle, and hopefully they can do that today. The one that you're really concerned about is kind of what Greg had mentioned there, that Seattle's defensive line has been maybe the strength of their team. Going against the Saints' offensive line, which has not played well in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, we know we've seen Spencer Rattler have that scramble ability. He might be on the run kind of often today. And, hey, maybe if he scrambles out, the wide receivers get open down the field. We know that the secondary has injury issues there, can take advantage of that. Just hoping we heard Drew Brees in those comments. You just need to break the seal right now. And I think it's been since December 8th of last year when they took on the Giants since we've seen the Saints organization get a win altogether. It's been a while.
And you just want Rattler to get that first W.
Even in preseason, we saw a tie, but we didn't get a win.
I know, but even like that's the thing that people keep banging Rattler on is that he hasn't picked up an NFL win yet. And despite how hard he's been playing, despite how hard he's been working, you just want to see him get that W. And we'll see if he can do it today.
Taking a break here on our WWL Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. We shall return even more with our pregame coverage leading into the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up at 1. Stay tuned right after this on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, you know, it's one of the loudest stadiums in the league. You know, what a what an opportunity, what a challenge for us to go in there and try to get our first win of the year. Obviously, it's going to be really loud. We got to be poised in the noise. That's our message this week, and be great with our communication, getting in and out the huddle, and you know, just trying to focus in on our job, even with all the extra stuff going on.
Saints quarterback Spencer Rattler there talking about being poised in the noise at Lumen Field in Seattle. And like I mentioned earlier, Charlie, for me, a little strange calling it Lumen Field. I'm used to being Quest.
What's really strange is how bad the Seahawks have been at home. Like, we've brought it up multiple times throughout the show, but just kind of emphasizing it. Like,
right, you hear about this 12th man.
Like, that's, it's one of the most iconic kind of titles for a fan base in the entire NFL. And they fly the flag and they get everyone excited. And it's one of the loudest venues in all the National Football League. Like Drew put it perfectly when he said that back in 2013 when they had to go to Seattle twice, once in the regular season and then again in the playoffs, that how they just could not hear anything because of how loud it was, how passionate that fan base is. They just haven't been putting up wins in front of those fans. It's been strange because they've been winning football games. Like, this isn't a bad Seahawks team by any stretch of the imagination. They just haven't won at home.
Well, hopefully another soggy day in Seattle kind of helps quell the fan base out there. Maybe the Saints can rise to the occasion and get that victory. As Drew also said, break that seal. And because we know next week is a heck of a task traveling to Buffalo.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg brought it up, though, in our recent interview, Steve. It's 7 of their last 8 games at home they've lost.
You would never guess that, I don't feel like.
They've played good teams, like Minnesota and Green Bay last year were good teams. They lost
tough
to
division, too.
Buffalo, the Rams, they lost an overtime game at home. San Francisco, they've lost back-to-back games against the 49ers at home. But then they lost to, like, the Giants last year, which is a little bit peculiar at home. And the one game that they've won in their past 8 was, like you said, a divisional game, Arizona. So it's a strange, strange thing that's been happening in Seattle recently. And hopefully that trend continues.
We're looking at the NFL scoreboard right now, checking in on some games. Carolina Panthers up 7-0 over Atlanta. Green Bay Packers up on Cleveland 3-0. It's Jacksonville 7 over Houston, who has 0. The Minnesota Vikings 14-0 over the Cincinnati Bengals. Pittsburgh also has a 14-0 lead at New England. The Rams just got on top of the Philadelphia Eagles over there, 10-7. The Buccaneers are on the board but trailing the New York Jets, 6-3. Indianapolis Colts have a 17-3 lead over the Titans in Tennessee. And in Washington, it's Commanders 7, Las Vegas Raiders 3. Really surprised to see a team like the Bengals, I guess, struggling that much, you know, on the road against Minnesota. I get the Vikings have a pretty good defense there, but man, oh man, I guess you have both backup QB situations with the Vikings and Bengals right now.
It's really sad, Burrow situation with the turf toe injury that requires surgery. He's going to be out for 3 months, Steve. The Bengals season at that point, like,
you feel doomed.
You're off to a 2-0 start, which is the good thing because they've been terrible in weeks 1 and 2 under Zach Taylor, but they've been winning these games even though they haven't looked very good. Is their season over despite a 2-0 start?
Sadly, it feels that way with
really
Joe.
So we'll see what happens there. And then also, as you mentioned, well, now Tampa Bay just scored. They had it first and goal. So the Buccaneers currently lead the Jets 10-6. You know, Tyrod Taylor, the backup quarterback for the Jets, has actually gotten off to a good start there. And we'll see plenty of backup QBs throughout the season. I mean, that's something that people don't really realize is that the average for the amount of quarterbacks a team plays per season is like over 2 right now because of all the injuries that are happening to quarterbacks around the NFL. We're in week 3 right now, and we're seeing all these backups get playing time already. So you can expect that trend to continue.
Little fun tidbit in that Tampa Bay Jets game. You mentioned Tyrod Taylor at quarterback for the Jets. He was with the Cleveland Browns the year that Baker Mayfield got drafted in the first round.
Oh.
So they had a little bit of a history. Baker talked highly of him going into this game.
And then one of those games that we'll be keeping an eye on throughout the first slate of games is the Falcons and the Panthers.
Yeah.
Carolina is still up 7-0 in Carolina over the Falcons. And Atlanta's gotten off to kind of a slow start here. And we'll see if Carolina, who has really been terrible in their first two games, can pick up maybe a surprise upset victory.
Taking a break here on the Caesars Sportsbook First Take. Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Be back with more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into the Caesar Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints, as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up with the Cajun Cannon at 1 o'clock here. Wanted to get into some of our remaining audio before we sign off here on First Take. Coach Kellen Moore talking about this matchup against 1-1 Seattle. We know that Seahawks D is frightening, and here's what Kellen Moore had to say.
I have a ton of respect for Mike, going all the way back to Baltimore. We played him a couple times when he was there, and so... they're really, really sound. They're really sound. They're all tied together. They don't give you – you don't see a bunch of freebies in games. You don't see blown coverages, miss run fits and turn into explosives. You're going to earn everything. And he has a really good ability and balance of playing the patience game and then finding those really opportune times to pressure you. And so, it's a really talented group. We look at really this whole entire group is the same as what they had last year, and then they added some really good pieces like a DeMarcus Lawrence and some of those guys. And so, it's a really talented group.
That's head coach Kellen Moore talking about the Seahawks defense. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, Sam Darnold, his first season in Seattle. What's Kellen Moore seen out of the QB?
I think Sam's just a great example of the development of quarterbacks in our league, and sometimes it takes a little bit of time and being in the right situation and right environment. I thought what he did last year at Minnesota was really special. He carried a team and put them in an awesome position to make a playoff run and have tons of success up there. And so, I feel like he's in a great situation. I thought he played some really good football last week against Pittsburgh. He's a really good quarterback in this league. He's earned it, and so it'll be a challenge for us.
And one thing, Charlie, if this game comes down to a field goal, how confident we feeling in Blake Groupie right now? Well, head coach Kellen Moore still has a ton of confidence in the Saints kicker.
It'll be fine. There's too much good over the course of the sample size I've experienced with him to say have a bunch of concerns. He's had an awesome training camp, offseason, preseason. He's made some really good kicks. He kept us in it, certainly in the Arizona game when we kept kicking field goals. And so, we missed a couple ops. We'll get better from it. He's going to be just fine, and I have all the confidence in the world in him.
Groupie's definitely a bit head-scratcher to start the year because, we raved so much about him, how he was performing in training camp, and I definitely was recommending, you got to get this guy in fantasy football.
Yeah, and, they asked him about it during the Saints coaches show on Monday, and he said he still has all the faith in the world in Blake Groupie. He just needs to go out there and start making those intermediate kicks because those have been the ones that he's been missing. But real quick, as we're heading out here, Steve, yeah. There was a stat that I used from Dalton Wasserman, who from PFF, that we interviewed about Sam Darnold, who Coach Kellen Moore just talked about there, that when he's allowed to utilize play action as a passer, he's top five in the NFL as far as those PFF metrics go. But when he's having to do those true dropback sets where he's having to throw on third and long and stuff like that, and you know what they're doing, much more middle of the pack. So stop the run and get after him in those true dropback sets.
Thanks for tuning in to the Caesar Sportsbook First Take. That's Charlie Long. Also, thanks from Coleman. I'm Steve Geller. That's a wrap. We're getting into now the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff coming up next right up on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.